"'Tis not crowns which have done it." He dared not tell the young man that he was acquainted with his brother the archdeacon, to whom he had not returned after the scene in the church, a negligence which embarrassed him. The scholar went his way, and Gringoire set out to follow the crowd, which was mounting the staircase of the great chamber. In his opinion, there was nothing like the spectacle of a criminal process for dissipating melancholy, so exhilaratingly stupid are judges, as a rule. The populace which he had joined walked and elbowed in silence. After a slow and tiresome march through a long, gloomy corridor which wound through the courthouse like the intestinal canal of the ancient edifice, he arrived near a low door, opening upon a hall which his lofty stature permitted him to survey with a glance over the waving heads of the rabble. The hall was vast and gloomy, which latter fact made it appear still more spacious. The day was declining. The long pointed windows permitted only a pale ray of light to enter, which was extinguished before it reached the vaulted ceiling, an enormous trelliswork of sculptured beams whose thousand figures seemed to move confusedly in the shadows. Many candles were already lighted here and there on the tables and beaming on the heads of clerks buried in masses of documents. The anterior portion of the hall was occupied by the crowd. On the right and left were magistrates and tables. At the end.